This episode is sponsored by Mixers. Mixers is a company built by women for women. They're driven and dedicated to helping you embrace your time of the month by giving your body the nutrition it needs. And because their story exists, your period story can change. Her Time is a nutritional supplement that helps balance hormones on the daily. Take it consistently, and Her Time can help you take control of bloating, cramps, mood swings, irregular flow, and low energy. No matter the phase of your cycle, Her Time supports your period health by keeping your hormones in check. If you've been waiting to get your hormones in check, now is the time. Follow the link in our show notes and use our code BABES for a discount at checkout.
We're your hosts, Dana and Kara,
and this is From the Mouths of Babes.
Welcome back, everyone. We are excited for our guest today. I'm happy to introduce Ashley Sorensen. Ashley is a menstrual and hormone coach for women. Her personal experience with PMS and debilitating period pain and infertility is what ultimately set her on her journey to learn more about how food and lifestyle affect hormone health and eventually creating her signature course, Cycle Strategy 101, as well as exercise and hormones and cycle success. That's S-E-X-C-E-S-S. We love that. Ashley is passionate about teaching women how to tap into their superpowers by honoring their cyclical rhythms. Well, I'm especially excited for this conversation because I feel like I need to tap into those superpowers because they're making me more crazy than they are making me more enjoyable to be around. And so this is going to be great.
So I love that you refer to women's cycles as a superpower. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like as I've gotten a little bit older, I am more aware of this space that you're in. And because women's health seems to be a really forgotten space or marginalized, or we just have to deal with it quietly. And the media and public and men's discomfort around it. I feel like the goal is to erase periods and control it, hide your cycle. And you're basically taught that from a young age, like the period hormone movie that you watch in like fourth grade is like a secret, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I, you know, if like for me, I realized this kind of listening to some of your information in a podcast that you had done, I was like, oh, I think, you know, I got an IUD, not at this point in my life, not even to prevent pregnancy, but was to control my period and to not have to deal with it. And
right.
So I feel like, okay, I'm growing up. I have to deal with this. And like you said, somewhere else, like women have to start preparing for menopause in their 30s. And I'm really upset about that. I'm just really excited. And hopefully this conversation kind of amps up some of our listeners to feel more positively about their femininity and their women's health. And we'd love for you to kind of share some of your story of how you really found yourself in this space and became such a great educator.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I love talking about periods. So this conversation could go all day, but it's kind of funny. So I'm 42 years old and totally pivoted in my career a few years ago when I decided that I wanted to be a life coach. I had my first experience with a life coach about 5 years ago, and it was incredible. And I decided that that was something that I wanted to do. And then I've always been fascinated with nutrition and have always loved kind of the world of health, nutrition, and fitness. And so I decided that that's where I wanted to focus. I wanted to focus on nutrition coaching. And like you mentioned, I have endometriosis. I was diagnosed when I was 21, and that caused me a lot of pain, debilitating pain. And I found that I would go to doctor after doctor and nobody had any guidance for me as far as I was in remission. I had excision surgery for my endometriosis. I was in remission, meaning I was asymptomatic at that point, but then my symptoms started coming back and nobody had any guidance for me. And I could clearly see that there was a link between the food that I would eat and my symptoms. And when I would talk to my doctor about that, he would say, there is not a link and you can really eat whatever you want. And also when I did IVF in 2007, I asked my doctor then, like, is there any food that I should stay away from, or, you know, that is going to, like, I want to increase my chances as much as possible. No, you don't need to worry. You can eat whatever you want. I mean, at that point I was drinking Diet Coke by the gallons and they were like, nope, that's fine. Go ahead. And so, but I could clearly see that there was a link between the food that I was eating and my symptoms. And so that kind of sent me on a road of like my own, looking for my own answers and doing a lot of like reading a lot of studies and a lot of research and ultimately finding that, you know, the connection between our hormones and food and, you know, really who we are being on a daily basis. And so I realized like, this is what I was supposed to do all along, is help women. Like, I see that there's a gap here and in our education and kind of what you were saying, Kara, you know, the way that people think and feel about periods, like it's something to be shameful for. And it's like, hey, listen, none of us would be here if it wasn't for a period. So, you know, I really want to change the narrative around that. And I want women to realize that shutting off your period isn't the answer. And that I really believe that the menstrual cycle is a God-given gift to women. It's just that we're not educated. Nobody ever teaches us how to access our superpowers using the menstrual cycle. And that's why I'm here, is really to educate and to help women embrace their feminine energy.
I love that. I'm excited for this. But it's kind of sad to me, as you were saying that, of like, okay, I'm almost 30 and I'm just now going to start learning about, you know,
your own body,
my own body. Yeah. So Hopefully, I mean, Kara and I both have daughters. So hopefully this will help in our communication and educating them about their bodies and their hormones. And
absolutely,
they won't be 30 and asking these questions.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think this is like that. I had that same feeling, Dana, you know, like I'm in my late 30s and I'm just learning these tools. Why didn't anybody ever teach me? And then when I stopped having that pity party, I was like, this is where I get to come in and help educate women and kind of change the world woman by woman.
Love it. Well, thank you for doing this work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to educating then. So we know that hormones kind of ebb and flow. I think any woman can be aware of that because they're just going to be aware of their own emotions, how that affects their mood, how that affects their sexual desire, confidence, appetite, exercise. I would like to cover those like five different pillars of how understanding the basics of hormones can help us maximize these areas of our life. But I think in order to do that, we probably need to know some basics of hormone health. So If someone were to ask you, what are the basics of hormone health? What would you say?
Okay, well, we got to start. So this is all like, this is what I teach in Cycle Strategy 101. This is the basics, and we want to be brilliant in the basics, right? Like if we can be brilliant in the basics, then we can build upon that. And so really understanding what the menstrual cycle entails. Sometimes people think that a menstrual cycle is their period or the week of their bleed. And that's not true. The menstrual cycle is your entire cycle. So, you know, from the week of your bleed through ovulation and then back again to your bleed. So it's that 28-day period, 35-day period, whatever that is, looks like for you. And it starts and ends with our period. So you know, we have the week of menstruation when all of our hormones are at their, all of our sex hormones are at their lowest point. So estrogen, testosterone, progesterone are all low. And that's why we have, we feel lower in energy and our mood can be more solemn, or we feel that introverted energy, kind of just want to be alone. And that's because of where our hormones are. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. Then you move into the pre-ovulatory phase. And so the week after menstruation, and at this point, your hormones are starting to increase. Estrogen is starting to rise and it's going to reach its peak during your ovulation, as well as testosterone. And so you experience the pickup in energy, mood, and sexual desire, motivation. This is a great time to start a new habit. Then the week of ovulation is obviously when you are going to feel more of a sexual, a desire to be sexual, because your body is trying to get you pregnant. So because like our hormones are just, our bodies are amazing. And so estrogen is what gives us confidence. And it gives us more of that extroverted energy. We want to be social. We're extra chatty. We want to hang out with friends. We want to go out on dates. We want to have sex. That's all because your body is designed during this time to get you pregnant. It doesn't care if you want to get pregnant or not. You're still going to experience all of those awesome superpowers that go with it. So it's a great time to have, go on vacation and spend time with your partner and your friends and do all those fun things, because once you get into the premenstruum, the week before your bleed comes, progesterone rules this part of the cycle, and progesterone is a calming hormone. And so this is an introverted phase of the cycle. So you're going to be, most likely you're going to be feeling like you want to stay home and like your sweats and watch TV. You just want to be alone. A lot of women, this can be a difficult part of the cycle because a lot of women experience PMS during this time. And so, but it, I think that it is also maybe the most difficult, but also the most misunderstood part of the cycle, because it comes with some really awesome superpowers with it. So the first thing is understanding that there are four phases to your menstrual cycle, and that your hormones are ebbing and flowing throughout, and that that affects everything about you, your appetite, your mood, your sex drive, your motivation, your confidence, everything. And instead of looking at it as a problem and wishing that you were more like your husband, or, you know, I remember before I knew this stuff really well, thinking like, am I crazy? Am I crazy because I have like all this energy one day? Like, I feel so good today. Why can't I always feel like this? You know? Right. And I also felt hesitant to plan my life because I felt like I didn't know how I was going to feel emotionally and physically. I had really bad PMS. And so I was like, I don't know if I want to say yes to this thing that I'm being asked to commit to, because I don't know how I'm going to feel. But now that I understand how my cycle is going to be, how my cycle is, and I can anticipate how I'm going to feel, then I can plan my life according to my menstrual cycle. It's brilliant. So that's the first thing, is understanding that there are four phases to the cycle and that everything about you is going to change, and we can fight against it and create a lot of hardship for ourselves. And we feel like we're swimming upstream. We feel overwhelmed. And we feel confused. We feel like we're not good enough, or we can really welcome it in and work with our hormone fluctuations. And that's how you create ease and flow in your life, is by leaning into it and planning your life accordingly.
I bet my life would go a lot smoother if I actually pay attention to those things.
It will go smoother. And I think it, you know, I love watching women. They're like, I'm a better mom because I understand my cycle. I'm a better wife because I understand my cycle. I'm a better coworker. You realize that there are boundaries that need to be set based on your menstrual cycle, you know? And I used to cancel a lot on people, like, I'm not going to be able to come tonight. But now that I understand where I'm going to, like, I know I always want to plan my fun stuff with other people during my pre-ovulatory phase and ovulatory phase, because that's when it's going to feel natural and fun. I'm not going to have to drag myself there, you know, and fake smile myself through it. Like, it's going to feel fun and natural.
That makes me think, I was diagnosed with ADHD a couple years ago, and I was very symptomatic, and I was having, my child was diagnosed with autism and ADHD. So my symptoms seemed to match up with a lot of what he was experiencing. And I was like, I think this makes sense for my life. But I think I could pinpoint some of my symptoms getting a lot worse after puberty or with puberty. Mm-hmm. And so it makes me wonder, like, if I didn't have my IUD, could I be more in tune, and would some of the days where I'm like, my ADHD is so bad, is it actually that I am in, I like how you refer to the four seasons as seasons, like the summer, winter, spring, autumn, and the winter is the period, the bleed time, correct? Mm-hmm. And I've heard you say that you should rest during those times. And I'm like, well, maybe I just should have been resting this whole time. I had all these high expectations for myself.
Right.
So yeah, it makes me wonder, like, how much better, how much healthier could I feel, and how much more like space could I hold for myself if I was able to track appropriately, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's difficult. You know, I'm never going to tell a woman not to take the pill or not to take an IUD or not use or have an IUD or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a really personal choice, but you also need to understand what's happening when you do that. Mm-hmm. And like with the pill, it completely shuts your hormones down. You're not fluctuating at all. Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of women feel kind of numb when they're on the pill. Because it's really what it's doing. It's totally changing your personality and it's changing your brain. With an IUD, you sometimes, like, the primary mechanism of action with an IUD is not to, it's not designed to prevent ovulation, but it can. And some women can tell when they're ovulating, especially like they'll notice, oh, I have like this peak in energy and mood and sexual desire. I must be ovulating. And then you can go from there. Like, okay, so I'm in my ovulatory phase now. And then, so you can still work with your cycle, you know, you can still track. But the key is like pinpointing where you are in your cycle.
you gotta like emotionally journal every single day.
Totally. Totally. I think that, you know, we talk a lot in great detail about this in Cycle Strategy 101 about tracking, but it's more than tracking when your bleed comes. It's also tracking your emotions and your energy levels. Because all of those things, all those little pieces of data that you're collecting as your own personal detective is what's going to help you create a schedule that makes sense for you and just feels easy. Like, you can plan activities with your kids at certain times of your cycle when you're going to feel like taking them places, you know? And so, I think that there's just power. There's power in our hormones, and that's what we want to uncover and discover for ourselves.
So step one into owning your own hormones is probably tracking and journaling and keeping, you know, being very self-aware.
100%. Yes.
So while you're doing that though, my question that I kept thinking is, I'm thinking of my own personal experience. So I have an IUD, and so I typically don't really get periods anymore. So for me to track, that is difficult. But I noticed, like, occasionally, like, I'll spot every now and again. And so I was spotting last week, we were camping, and I definitely felt this like disconnection. Like, I just wanted to be alone. I felt just really kind of numb. And we got back from camping, and I was checking in with my husband, and I'm like, I just feel like I just want to disconnect from everything. I just want to be reading books and listening to audiobooks, but I just felt like such a bad mom because I was like, I don't want to be around my kids. And that just made me feel really guilty. But then I also struggle with mental health. And so I take depression and anxiety medication. So how do you, when you're trying to track all of this, and you're trying to journal, how do you distinguish between what's a symptom of anxiety and depression and this feeling of wanting to disconnect versus it being part of your cycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really great question. So the first thing that I want to make clear is that this feeling of disconnect and separation is a part of your inner winter, which is the week of your bleed. So there are they're called chambers, inner chambers of menstruation. And that's kind of a whole new level of menstrual cycle awareness that we won't get into today. But the first one is this chamber of separation. So we actually feel ourselves pull away, which is maybe what you were experiencing last week. Like you feel like, you almost feel overstimulated, you know?
Right, right.
And you want to pull away and you want to come in, you want to read your book, you want to listen to audiobooks, you just want to be alone. And so the first thing that I want you to know is that that's normal. And so when you know that, you can extend so much self-compassion.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Because then you know, like, there's nothing wrong with you and that this is okay. And that this is the time that you reach out to your husband for maybe a little extra support, you know, like, hey, I'm in my inner winter. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. So I'm going to need a little extra help. So there's that part of it. And then when you have depression, anxiety, all those things can be made worse in the days leading up to your bleed. And that's called premenstrual exacerbation. So it's just when pre-existing conditions are made worse, they're heightened. And so, and then once your bleed starts, you feel that like pressure, it almost feels like a pressure valve has been released, you know, it's like, oh, okay. And so, but knowing that you're maybe going to experience some of that, that PME before the bleed or during your bleed, again, you can give yourself compassion and you can make a plan. This is like self-care on a whole new level, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if I know I'm going to be feeling this, then I need to make sure that I've got stuff in order so that I can take care of myself during that time. Hey, you know, can somebody watch my kids for a couple of hours so that I can have some time to be alone? I mean, like whatever it is that you need. Asking your husband to maybe pick up more of the load or whatever. That's a really important part of menstrual cycle awareness, is identifying who you are and embracing who you are in every phase of the cycle, and then making sure that your needs are taken care of during those times.
Thank you for saying all of that. I myself think that that's a really revolutionary way to look at it. And I know a lot of other women will agree that we should have all along had permission to really embrace and be okay with our hormones, that it is who we are. Mm-hmm. But I think, as Kara mentioned at the beginning, you know, we want to kind of erase all of that. So in essence, we erase a piece of our identity by thinking like, oh, it's just PMS, or, oh, and, you know, I'm just on my period. But as to your point, there's a lot of power in understanding, this is who I am. I can respect where I am in this moment, make decisions and calculated decisions so that I can have better relationships, a happier life.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And not discounting, like, or discrediting who you are in your premenstrual, you know, the week before your bleed. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I was just emotional. I just had PMS. Like, that's not really who I am. And no, like, all the seasons of your cycle, who you are in all the seasons are make up who, like, each one, your summer Dana is just as important as your winter Dana, you know?
Yeah.
And they all have something to offer you, and they're all there to help you evolve. I always say that the menstrual cycle's like hidden agenda is to help us evolve as women. We have the opportunity to become refined every single month through the menstrual cycle and the self-care practices that come with it. So,
Oh, I love that so much.
I know. Yeah. We get to be our own rebirth, you know, yes. Our body is starting over again with new cell, new life created. And, but it also makes me think of like Orthodox Jews and ancient Jews, like girls got to go sit in a tent for a week. Like they had something They got to go and isolate.
I know. And they like, it was something really respected. Like they're going to go to the red tent and they're going to come out with knowledge to share with all of us. Like they are going to experience. That's what I teach my clients in Ease and Flow, which is my group program, that to create a sacred bleed. Here's the thing. God knew that women were going to be like going, doing all the things. And we needed to have a time where we released all of that and where we were still, where we created stillness in the day. And your bleed, the week of your bleed, is the perfect time for that. It's your inner winter. Think of how you are during the winter time. I don't know where you guys are. I'm in Utah. It's snowy. It's pretty like desolate. There's nothing to do unless you want to go skiing, and it's cold and there's nothing happening on the surface of the ground. But underneath, like if I were to put on x-ray glasses and look underneath the ground, there's a lot going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the same with us. Like maybe we're not doing a lot of stuff, but inside of us, there's a lot of transformation that can be taking place as we listen. This is our time to listen and be still. And but women aren't doing that. But we push through because that's what the world teaches us to do. You don't let your period slow you down. You keep on going, you know, you keep on pushing through. And so that's why so many of us are experiencing burnout, because we're not honoring that call to slow down.
And that's like such a media issue. I remember when some of the older like Playtex tampon commercials, like you can still play soccer, you can still swim, you can still go lift weights, and like making you feel shame in your body in a way, like, well, you should still be doing it. You're not allowed to take a break.
It's right.
I feel like I kind of internalized that as a teenager. Like you don't get a rest. You don't get to cancel plans. Like you got to go, you got to be on the move.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a huge thing in our media, that, you know, you see a woman standing up in a boardroom, you know, leading a group of businessmen, and she's on her period, you know, but it's like, I love that. I love that, you know, there's strong women that are leaders in the world, but like the period isn't like, have you guys seen on Instagram now? It's like, she's a 10, but you know,
yeah,
she's a 10, but she has a period, you know? And it's like, the period is what is making it. Like the cycle, the cyclical nature of women is what makes us amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay. So speaking of exercise, I know that you have talked about how, women should exercise according to their cycle, that they'll have better results. Mm-hmm. I think you've talked about the US like Olympic soccer team that they've implemented, and they had huge success.
Yeah.
That was so fascinating to me.
Yeah, right? So awesome.
So yeah, tell us what are the basics of exercise and our cycles?
Okay. So just a little backstory in case the listeners don't know what we're talking about here. So the US women's soccer team started exercising or training for games using their menstrual cycle. And so instead of doing the same exercises every day, like every woman kind of did her own routine every day, depending on where she was in her cycle. And when they exercised in this way, they actually had, like they won more games, and they experienced less fatigue and less injury. And it was just kind of like this, whoa, this huge aha for female athletes around the world. And I actually just read an article about a, British runner, female runner, and she was not able to run as well as she normally does because of where she was in her cycle. And she actually didn't come in first. It was never a struggle for her before, but because she was on her period when she ran, and or maybe she was even in her late premenstrual, her endurance wasn't the same. And so she is talking about like there needs to be more money invested in, you know, understanding how a woman's menstrual cycle affects her ability to perform athletically. And I thought, oh man, that's incredible that more and more people are understanding and seeing this. So during the week of your bleed, like I said, this is the time for you to rest. And so I recommend things like, you know, gentle yoga and walks, you know, things that feel really nourishing to your body. And, you know, things that feel jarring and hard and, you know, uncomfortable during your bleed, like that's your body's way of telling you, this isn't what we want to be doing right now. I am always like, listen, it's okay if you consider napping to be your primary form of exercise during rest or during your bleed, because that's what your body needs. Like, this is the time for you to rest and replenish. I compare it to pulling back on a slingshot. Like, you want to pull back, you pull back slowly on a slingshot so that it can propel further, faster. And that's what we're doing essentially with slowing down during our bleed. We're going to actually have more energy and stable moods throughout the rest of our cycle if we slow down during the bleed. And then as your estrogen and your hormones are supporting that during your bleed, because remember I said they're all at their lowest point.
Right.
So that's what you're going to feel like doing. And then you're going to start to feel it, things pick up. You know, as your bleed ends and you're coming into the pre-ovulatory phase, you feel more motivated and excited, and you want to get out and do stuff. So you can start doing like cardio and picking up, you know, longer or more extensive workouts. And then in your ovulatory phase, when your energy reaches its peak, then like HIIT workouts and again, doing more of your hardest workouts during this time with, as far as cardio and strength training. And then during the premenstrual, so after you ovulate, then your energy starts to wane as you get closer to your bleed. And so during those first few days of the premenstrual, you're going to hopefully still be experiencing some energy. And so you can focus on building lean muscle with weight training, resistance bands, Pilates, things like that, the more difficult forms of yoga. And then you'll feel that shift in energy and mood as you get close to your bleed coming. And so you want to lean into that and also shift your workouts. So focus on more flexibility focused workouts like Pilates and yoga, you know, more gentler forms of yoga, and foam rolling, things like that. And so it's awesome because the four phases of the cycle, it gives you a container for all of these things that you're like, I should be doing that. I want to get around to doing that. Like, your cycle gives you this automatic window of time to do that. You always know what you should be focusing on, you know, depending on where you are in your cycle. This is what I'm going to focus on as far as nutrition and as far as exercise. So it just creates a lot more ease in your life and you feel a lot more energetic. And like I said, it helps you sustain that positive mood throughout the cycle.
Well, and I think it's getting rid of that feeling, those feelings of guilt and overwhelm and eventual burnout, because as you said, it's compartmentalizing when you can do those things so that it's not this grind of, I have to get everything done every day, all day.
Yes. Yes. It's not like, oh, I should be doing that, but I'm doing this. Like, no, I'm going to get around to that. There's a time in my cycle where I focus on that, and it's not right now. So you can be here now. You can be present with whatever it is you're doing.
Love that. Okay. So with food, then it's probably similar, but what are people going to gravitate towards more when they're in their winter versus when, you know, they're ovulating?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So during your inner winter, so that's the week of your bleed, you are, I mean, kind of think about it. When you're in your period, you want more of like the comforting foods, kind of like mm-hmm. we want in nature's winter, you know, mm-hmm. we want like the warm soups or stews or macaroni and cheese or something. I don't know, you know,
yeah,
the totally. comfort foods. We want things that give us this little boost in our serotonin levels, which is that happiness chemical. And so I want you to have that, but you want to be smart about it because, you know, food is medicine. Food can help. Food can hurt, and so it can make your symptoms worse if you have painful periods. And so at the end of the day, you just want to come back to really nourishing, nutrient-dense foods. I love to prepare foods in my inner autumn, so my premenstrum, so that during my bleed, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat. Like, it's already, I've already got like the soups made or, you know, the meals planned. And so I don't have to do all of this work. And because according to traditional Chinese medicine, our bodies actually want warmer foods and the comforting foods. So focus on nutrient dense, like starchy veggies, like your sweet potatoes. You can even do normal potatoes. Just focus like not so much on those, more of the sweet potatoes. And then things like butternut squash or all different types of squash, those yeah. starchy veggies that are going to give you that serotonin boost, but they're also very nutrient dense. And then when you're in the ovulatory phase, so you're ovulating, estrogen is actually a natural appetite suppressant. And so you're not going to feel as hungry usually during your inner spring and summer. And so you can get away with lighter meals, like salads and stuff like that are going to taste and feel good to you. And so, you know, using high quality proteins, you know, like your grass-fed beef and your organic poultry, your wild caught fish, things like that on salad, with lots of veggies to go with it, you know, your beets and things like that. Also adding seeds, pumpkin seeds and chia seeds, whatever you can, but those things are so impactful. Like they pack such a nutritional punch. And so adding those things, smoothies also taste really good during this time. And you can add a ton of nutrient dense ingredients to smoothies. And, you know, during that time of the cycle, when you feel all this energy, you don't want to spend a ton of time on food. That's something that I've realized with myself and with my clients. It's like, I'm not really hungry. I don't want to spend time making food or thinking about what I'm going to eat, but it's really important that you don't skip meals because yeah. then that'll create a whole new issue. And so just choose lighter foods that feel like the fresh foods and during your ovulatory phase. So yeah, we go deep into that too in Cycle Strategy 101, because your body needs different things at different times. You know, when you're bleeding, you need to replenish your iron. And so you do that with iron-rich foods, and you want to be able to absorb that iron. So you do that with the foods that are high in vitamin C. And so there's a lot of science and kind of this beautiful rhythm behind it all. So
beautiful. I'm curious about when we're choosing our foods. I've become more aware of like ingredients and, you know, the chemicals that we're exposed to daily in a lot of products and a lot of foods. And is that part of your coaching model as well, to choose more organic options, you know, without the glyphosate? Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Grains. Yes. Yeah. So Yes, absolutely. 100%. Nutrition is so huge. And that's a big part of what we focus on in my coaching. You want to be getting the highest quality ingredients that you can find. So you're talking about glyphosate, which is a pesticide that they spray on wheat. And it's very prevalent in our food. Please don't buy Cheerios. I'm just going to put that out there. When I see little kids eating Cheerios, I want to cry because they are one of the highest contaminated foods out there. And so because the ingredients are sprayed with glyphosate. And so, yeah, when you can, you want to be buying organic. And yes, it costs a little bit more, but your health is, look at it this way. Your health is an investment. It's not an expense, it's an investment. And so start off with just getting, one or two items organic and then build up from there. There are vegetables that are higher in pesticides than some others. And so like spinach and strawberries, like they're always on the dirty dozen list. Like just Google dirty dozen and clean 15. Those are where you should start. You want to make sure that you're getting the highest ingredients possible, because those pesticides that they use, they are endocrine disruptors, which means that they disrupt your hormones, and they can actually act as hormones in your body and cause estrogen dominance. So yeah, it's really important that you are getting the best ingredients that you can find, and that you're purchasing things that have been around for millions of years, you know, not things that come in a box. And so just avoiding, the industrial or the vegetable oils, you know, canola oil, cottonseed oil, like those things are not good for your hormones. So you always want to be doing olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil. And just taking baby steps. It's not like you have to do it all overnight. Just do a little bit at a time. It's good enough.
Yeah. Okay. So how does this all apply for people who are going through menopause? Mm-hmm. In our own family, we have a wide range of sisters. So there might be sisters that are getting ready to go through menopause. So how does this apply for them?
Yeah. So I'm in perimenopause. So perimenopause is just, peri means around. So I'm around menopause, and perimenopause can start showing up 10 years before you actually hit menopause. Menopause just means that you've gone 1 year without a period. And so in perimenopause, your cycles can get really unpredictable. So, you know, I might have an 80-day cycle and then a 15-day cycle, you know? And so, and then gradually they'll just stop showing up. So
maybe I have a quick pause? Yeah. With when you say like an 80-day cycle, are you saying like, okay, you have your bleed and then until you have your next bleed? Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So this cycle is the whole thing. It's not just the week of the bleed. And so, yeah. So I'll just have like a really, I call it the void. Like I go through all these four phases of the cycle and then I'm just like out here in the void waiting for my bleed to show up. And so, so maybe some of your listeners are experiencing that, or maybe they've hit menopause. Whatever your situation is, you can always benefit from living a cyclical life. So living in these regular rhythms, you know, eating differently, depending on, you know, where you are in the cycle, exercising, doing your self-care, you're going to benefit no matter what, because that's how we were human beings are cyclical. Men go off the circadian rhythm, which is 24 hours. Women go off the infradian rhythm, which is 28 days. And so if you are not menstruating, I recommend for whatever reason at all, if you've had a hysterectomy, you've hit menopause, you have an IUD, so you don't know where you are in your cycle, you can use the moon cycle, the lunar cycle. And so with that, the full moon, so you'd want to like download a moon app where you can keep track of the phases of the moon. So we're scheduled for a new moon today. So today would be, today is August 25th. Today would be, you would count it as day one of your bleed. Okay. So then you would start slowing down, resting, retreating, taking time to yourself, journaling, you know, just like you would during your bleed, slowing down your workouts. And then with the full moon, that is ovulation. And so that you would count that as day 14 of your cycle. So new moon to first quarter moon, that would be the week of your bleed, so your inner winter. And then your at the first quarter moon to the full moon, or the second quarter moon to the full moon, is your spring. And then full moon is ovulatory. And then third quarter moon is your premenstrual, so your inner autumn. So you can definitely use the lunar cycle to guide you. It's actually perfect because the moon cycle is about 29 and a half days long. So it works out perfectly. And so that's one way that you, that's how I recommend that you do it. If you want to start getting into a rhythm, your body is going to benefit from rhythms. Our body benefits from rhythms in everything, in our eating, you know, in our exercise. And so just to kind of get yourself into this beautiful rhythm and pattern of being, you can use the moon to guide you. Back in the day, primitive ancestors, they would ovulate. They'd actually ovulate with the full moon and menstruate with the new moon. Kind of cool. But we have so much, we're exposed to so much light pollution now that that is not common anymore, but kind of cool.
Yeah. Initially, when I heard you talking about this, of using the lunar cycle mm-hmm. as your guide, I was like, well, does that mean then that everyone has the same periods? And I was like, no, that can't be, because everyone has different right. cycles all the time. So it's just for the purpose of getting you into a pattern and a routine.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was curious though, what is it about, is it like absorption of hormones when you live with other women that your cycles do sync?
Yeah. So there's so much, like I've read so many studies that are like, that's not true. That's not true. That's not a thing. But I think we've all experienced it.
Yeah.
Like we've either had roommates or coworkers and we're like all synced up. And so I'm like, no, it is true. It really happens. And so the argument or the theory behind it, I should say, is that our pheromones interact with each other when we're in close proximity, you know? So when we're living together, working together, I mean, I used to work in a medical office with five women. We were together all the time, you know, all day long, close office space, and we were all synced up. So you can't tell me that it doesn't happen. So yeah, so your body releases these pheromones, and pheromones have a direct influence on somebody else's. So they can cause like somebody else to be attracted to you, you know, like your pheromones interact. And so it causes like a chemical reaction inside of another person. And so that's the theory behind it.
Interesting.
So yeah. Crazy.
Dana and I are daughters 6 and 7 of 10 kids. And so our house was probably a nightmare in the 90s for our parents.
Yeah, probably. Your dad was probably, and your brothers.
Yeah. Our brothers think they like know a lot about women because they have 7 sisters. So they think they're really educated.
They don't know a lot about women until they know this stuff about the menstrual cycle.
Yes. Yes. Educate yourself. Yeah. I love the idea of a husband being involved in the tracking so that he can be a better partner and show up better. And I just, you know, the awful saying of happy wife, happy life, but also, yeah,
if there's we can,
yeah, there is truth that like when you're working for each other's benefit to create harmony in a home,
right.
that is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, educating your, like, I'm willing to bet that 99.9% of men out there have no idea what you guys, what we're talking about today. Yeah. They have no idea. They maybe suspect that, yeah, you know, something's going on, you know, but they don't know. And really, like, 90% of women don't even know. Right. And so my husband knows a lot. He knows way more about the menstrual cycle than most women, obviously, because of what I do, but also because of what I've taught him, you know? And I will admit, I was kind of nervous to tell him in the beginning. Like, I thought that he'd think maybe it was weird, you know, like, what, what? And inner winter and what? And so, but he is so supportive and he knows exactly where I am in my cycle because it's an ongoing conversation. We're always talking about it. And he's asked, like, what do you need? Do you need to be alone? You know? And he knows it's nothing personal and that this is all normal and natural. And I've embraced it fully and he's embraced it. And so you want it, you want to understand and you want to educate your husband and you guys want to learn together. And I promise you it's going to change the relationship that you have with one another. And you know, you will understand, like, where you are, you'll be able to teach him and you'll be able to discover what it is that you need and ask for help. I think that that's a big thing with women is we don't want to ask for help. We can do it all fine.
Right.
But then we can be resentful. Like, I sure wish you would help out more, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, so I think that, you know, learning together about the menstrual cycle is a really important part of having a relationship.
For sure. I'm also excited to have that, to do that together with my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I like the idea of, like, planning around it as well. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to plan our alone vacation without the kids during the ovulatory phase. Yep. And we're going to have really awesome vacation sex.
Right.
Like, that sounds, what a fun thing to look forward to.
Right. Yeah. It's like, how many of us have planned a vacation not thinking of the menstrual cycle at all? And then we realize, oh man, I'm going to be on my period, or I'm definitely going to have PMS that week, or I'm going to be, like, just wanting to nap, or I'm going to be eating everything in sight, or I'm going to be really tired, you know? But if you know where you are in your cycle, you can plan your vacation accordingly. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. Plan your family pictures when you're in your ovulatory phase, because that's when your confidence is sky high.
You'll be glowing.
Your skin, estrogen helps your skin clear up. So, I mean, it's just, it's awesome. People are like, do you plan your life around your period? I'm like, I plan my life around my entire cycle. Like, yes, my cycle gets the last say and it's the best. It's awesome.
I like that reframe. That. Yeah. It's completely opposite. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. So last question then for people who are listening, what is the lowest effort but highest impact thing someone can start doing now to improve their hormone health?
Yeah. So remember when I said we want to be brilliant in the basics?
Yeah.
This is what I think the basics are. Okay. I think the first thing that every woman needs to be doing is taking magnesium.
Okay.
And I am always beating this drum. Magnesium glycinate. So many women are like, I've taken magnesium and I get diarrhea. You're taking the wrong form of magnesium. You want to be taking magnesium glycinate. Okay. So 300 milligrams at least of magnesium every single day. All of us are deficient in magnesium because when we are stressed, the body dumps magnesium first. And so our body is constantly having to replenish that magnesium reserve. We're always kind of falling behind on that. So help your body out, take a magnesium supplement. It's going to help you sleep. It's going to help your moods. It's going to help your energy. It's going to help you deal with stress. Like, your body doesn't know the difference between real stress, you know, real danger or perceived danger. And so it's going to react the same way in both situations. So take magnesium. You want to be practicing good sleep hygiene. That's another big one. avoid staying up. Like when you're tired, go to bed, just go to bed. Sometimes we'll reach for a snack to try and we think we're hungry, but really we're just tired. So just go to bed. If you are like get in the habit of putting on some blue light blocking glasses at nighttime after the sun goes down, because that's actually going to help you sleep, because that blue light that's coming off of your phone, it mimics the light that we experience first thing in the morning, right? So it stimulates you like, oh, I'm awake. So you want to be blocking that. Better yet, you want to just be turning off your devices and being present with your life, with your family. Watching sunsets will help you sleep because that warm, those warm colors that activate melatonin and make you feel sleepy. So if you watch a sunset and then you turn to your phone and then get the blue light from your phone, see what I mean? Like you're getting, it's not really working out. So that's another thing, is practicing good sleep hygiene, going to bed, getting light first thing in the morning, you know, stepping outside, breathing in some fresh air, you know, just opening the blinds in your house. Protein, fiber, fat with every meal. So, and when I talk about fat, I'm talking about like the healthy fats. So
right,
olive oils and or olives, coconut oil, you know, healthy seeds, nuts, things like that, that are avocados, that are going to help you feel full. And your hormones are made from cholesterol. And so they're made from healthy fat. So you want to make sure that you're getting that with every meal. That's going to help keep you satiated, satisfied, and help you have healthy hormones. And then getting in daily movement. You can always do something. You know, your exercise doesn't have to be, and shouldn't be really, an hour, 90 minutes long. 15, 20, 30 minutes, especially if you're healing a hormone imbalance or adrenal fatigue, then you want to keep your workouts under 30 minutes. And you can always do something. So, and let your cycle guide you. Let it guide you and listen to your body. What sounds good today and what sounds fun and nourishing, and how would I like to move my body today? Instead of like, oh, today I've got to go running. You know, it's like, just listen to your body. So those are my top four tips.
I love that.
That's great. My body is always telling me to not go running.
Right. So I will listen to that. Like I've been there, done that. Like I'm not, like my latest thing is water aerobics. I'm all over the water aerobics. I think it's so fun. I think it's so fun. It's a great workout. And so I think, you know, just like our desires and our needs change throughout the phases of our cycle, they change throughout the phases of our lives. You know, the things that were fun to me as a 25-year-old just aren't anymore. They don't turn me on at all, you know, and it's not a problem. I don't make it a problem. I'm just going with it.
I love that. I love that mentality. Okay. This was so informative. It's a good conversation. Yes. And you know, it's a good conversation when you're like, okay, but now I have this question. I have this question. And so, well, this was so informative, and I know our listeners are going to benefit from this. And, we will be sure to, share all of the resources, where they can connect with you, Ashley, because I know they're going to have lots of questions. And if you're interested in doing coaching with her, doing some of her courses, we will make sure that we link all of that.
And your podcast as well.
And your podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got lots of free resources. I try and like, you know, always have an informational, like my Instagram is full of information that you can just binge, you know, and you can get all of this help without paying me a dime by listening to the podcast and binging my stuff, my content on Instagram. So, and I love to help people in the DMs. Like if somebody sends me a DM, I'm all over it. So I love talking with women and helping women. So
perfect. Well, yeah. You heard it here first from the mouths of these three babes. So now you can go and ask this new babe some questions. So that's great.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I just have to share, we're going to share one funny story. That's just going to be our cumulative. This came out of the mouth of my babe, except for it's an internet babe. So I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this video, and I'm just going to play it so everyone can hear it. But it was kind of ridiculous, but I thought, like, oh my gosh, this would go so well with our conversation of just like not really understanding female anatomy, female health in general. So there is this, bless his heart, this boy. And this is what he said.
What happened in your pants? I mean, it's terrifying.
What did you say?
She has a tampon in. She, are you peeing on your tampon? What?
Okay, who's gonna tell him?
So there's three holes.
You have three holes down there?
And I pee out of one of them. Not the same one as the tampons.
What are you guys talking about? Is this true?
Yeah, it's true. So-
yeah.
Oh,
bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Yep. And I think that there's a lot of people that think that, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of education.
Yeah. So if this was you and you're like, wait a second, I thought those were the same. Yeah. Go have a conversation with the female in your life. And then you guys can start talking more about all women's health issues, including what we've learned today. So,
yeah. Or if you're too embarrassed to talk about it, I'm sure you could find an anatomy poster at the library. Maybe a little scary to Google, but the library has anatomy books, I'm sure.
Love it.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. This was such an informative and great conversation. We will be sure, like I said, to link everything and all the resources, but thanks for your time and for your knowledge and your passion. That is so evident that you have a lot of passion for this.
Thank you. Thanks for being interested in it and spreading the word. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, my message is that, like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you were beautifully created and on purpose. Like, nothing about you is accidental or wrong or a mistake. And it's the way that the world has taught us to think about menstruation and our cycle and being hormonal that's the problem. And so there's so much strength and power within women, and women are going to change the world. And I think that comes with embracing the cycle.
I love that. Well, if you liked what you heard today, please like it, share it, subscribe it, be willing to share it with some of your female friends. And let's continue to use our voices for good.